Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I hope wherever you are, it's nice and warm and cozy here in the Pacific Northwest. We've got stormy weather, gray skies, which are typical for the Seattle part of the universe, but we've got something to keep you warm and cozy and occupied. We're going to be talking about investment. We're going to be talking about condo buying and ownership, but it's going to be made simple for you. Why? Because we have a wonderful guest today. Kay Sine is a gal that not only has personal experience in buying condos, but she just loves to share her know-how with anyone who's willing to listen, and she's with us today. Kay Sine, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Donna, very much. It's a privilege to be here.
Now, you're the founder of a successful condominium management company, which I found interesting, and you have become quite the authority on community association living. You talk at real estate conferences, and you are an advisor to condominium association boards of directors and property managers. So you really, you know your stuff, and this is something that I think is so important. I have known people through the years that have just loved living in a condo, others that have hated it. I've known people that have gone in thinking they've got one kind of an agreement, and they find it's not so. So I am really looking forward to talking with you about this. Now, how did this all evolve for you? Because this is a very personal story. This is how you open your book. This is why you wrote the book. Tell us your story of how you got into this area of expertise.
Well, I moved into a condo. My husband and I were downsizing. Our children were, we had two left at home. They were teenagers. And we thought we'd try a condo. So we moved. We found one we loved, and we moved into it. An hour after we moved in, I got a call from the condo board president telling me that we could not park cars in our driveway.
That's 1 hour after you move in.
Right.
That must have been a very exciting experience.
Well, it was horrible because we had four cars. My two kids had a car, each had a car, and we had each a car. And we had a driveway, double width driveway and double car garage, and that just didn't make any sense at all. And plus, there was no extra guest parking anywhere on the property. So my children ended up having to park off the property. And that was very bad when they had to come home after a part-time job in the evening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was very bad. So from that, I ended up getting on to the board of directors, getting elected to the board of directors, so that I could see what could be done.
And that was the beginning of a business. And this was in 1997 that this evolved?
No, this was back in 1987.
1987?
When we bought that condo, yes.
Okay. And then you went into your own company in 97.
Correct. I had started managing condos part-time in the late 80s. And so in 97, I formally incorporated Lake Management, Inc. And so it's now in its second generation.
Now in its second generation. All right, here you had your very first experience with a condo, and it brings to my mind something that a friend of mine, her sister, bought into a condo. Her sister is in her 80s and very good health, and she bought a condo in this wonderful little community, and after she got into it, she didn't realize, one, she couldn't do things in the yard outside, that was not her right or privilege. She couldn't put in certain plants. Two, there was no parking allowed on the street. Now, she did have a good parking area, but just like what you said, everything had to be parked inside. And she is sort of happy with where she is, but I think if she knew what she knows now, she would not have purchased this particular place.
All right.
But she's made some adaptations. So let's talk about what people need to be aware of when they're getting ready to buy a condo, because you hear so many promotions on television about buying into communities, buying into condos, townhouses in these communities, and like I said, I've known some people that have just loved it and others that have just detested it, could hardly wait to sell what they had purchased to get out of it so that they wouldn't have to have the restrictions. And some there's differences in the way condos are presented, all kinds of things. So this book, I think, is a must-read. Let's talk about legal documents, because one of the statements you made is that you didn't realize that you had moved into a police state. That's a horrible thing to say. That's an awful thing to say, but I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. So let's talk about those legal documents that people get.
Okay. The reason that I didn't realize I had moved into a police state is because I never received any of these governing documents.
Oh, my goodness.
We bought our condo from an estate sale, and we never even we didn't even know the thing existed. When that board president called me about the parking, she said, I said, how can this be? And she said, well, it's in the declaration. I said, what's the declaration? So that's a problem, because sometimes other sometimes people don't get the documents. So there are documents that need to be reviewed. They are the declaration, the bylaws, the rules, the financial documents, insurance. There are so many documents really should be reviewed. And I'm convinced that condos are a fabulous place to live, but the buyer needs to make sure that he's matching his lifestyle with the style of a particular condominium association.
Okay, people get these documents, they're all excited about what they're getting. Would you recommend that they have someone sit down with them and go through it? Because some of you're going to get a stack of documents, the do's, the don'ts, the whereases, the where nots, and all this kind of thing. And people are often so excited. Now, can you ask for a copy of those documents prior to looking at purchasing one?
Absolutely. Your realtor should be able to give you those documents.
Okay. So, go ahead.
Or the management company. Or the county. You know, there are at least four different places to get those documents.
Now, how can someone choose their, if they've got a particular lifestyle, because there are organizations and there are organizations.
Mm-hmm.
When you choose to get into them, of course, the price range is just across the board, depending on what area of the country you live in, etc. What should people be aware of? From your personal experience, what should they really be looking at relative to their lifestyle? What kinds of questions should they ask themselves?
Well, they should ask about pets. Whether or not pets are permitted and if there are any weight or size restrictions. They should ask, if they have a home-based business, they should ask if they're allowed to run that business from that condominium unit.
Now, that's a very important point, especially with so many people having home businesses.
Correct. I know of several people that moved in, did not know they could not run a business from their unit. And so they either had to sell their unit or give up their business. And that's disastrous when you're in, just been in a couple of months financially, that's disastrous. I know one person that couldn't do that very quickly, and she ended up having to run her business out of her friend's house until she could get her unit sold.
Oh, for heaven's sake. So we have that. You have the assets, like you said, about pets.
Also leasing. Ask whether or not you can lease your unit.
Now, that's a very important one, because sometimes people, I know of a young woman who found she got a job that took her overseas, and so she wanted to be able to lease, and in her case, she was able to do that. They allowed her to do it. She was able to lease her condo while she was out of the country.
Right.
And it was a win-win for her because that covered her payment, and she didn't have to worry about utilities or anything else. Everything was just all taken care of. And she also had a management company that made sure that the checks went into the bank and all that kind of good stuff. So that worked out for her. But in many instances, they don't want you to lease your place.
Right.
So that is very, very good. Now, what is the difference between a condominium association and a homeowners association? You brought this point out in your book, which I thought was invaluable.
Well, from the, Donna, that's a wonderful question, and it's one that most people don't even think of. You know, the lingo can be you're buying a condo or a townhouse or a co-op, or there are many different terms for these units all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so the name of what you are buying is not what's important. What is important is how is that association structured? And what that means is who owns what?
Mm-hmm.
That's the important thing that you must find out. Now, in general, an individual who buys into a condo owns the living unit and a part of the common areas. The association owns no real estate. In other words, you'll pay your own taxes
mm-hmm.
when you move into a condo. Now, in a homeowners association, the individual owns his dwelling and his lot. And the homeowners association owns the common areas. In a cooperative, the individual owns stock in the corporation, and they hold a proprietary lease on their unit. The cooperative association actually owns all the real estate, including the units. So the most important thing is to find out what you own, because that will determine what you're responsible for in both in maintenance and also financially. And the declaration will give you that information.
Now, I like what you say when you talk about planned communities account for 50 to 55% of this total, condominiums 40 to 45%, and cooperatives 5 to 7% when it comes to an association-managed community. And this has become very important for many people who are maturing, and they say, gee, I don't want to be bothered with cutting the grass, I don't want to be bothered with this, that, or the other. But as you so very clearly bring out in the book, you're going to still have responsibilities, but you have to ask yourself, just like you said, are you going to be happy with the arrangements? Some places will not allow for visitors. There will be no visitor parking, like you've brought up. If it is available, it's not going to be convenient. There's just a question maybe about security systems. There may or may not be, you know, activities that go on. So there really is a lot of homework that someone has to do. Now, tell us the differences between a brand new unit and a resale unit.
Donna, you are raising so many great questions here and issues. That is a wonderful question. A lot of people are enamored with brand new units. There are some disadvantages to brand new. The biggest thing to watch out for if you want to buy a brand new unit is to do your research about the developer. You need to check that developer out big time. Find out if he's ever had bankruptcy. Find out developments he has built and how are they doing and what are they selling for. Go to those communities that are brand new and talk to the residents. Another thing you want to get, the budget. And you want to find out how much is in the reserve fund. When a developer builds units, he wants to sell them very quickly, so he keeps the maintenance fee low, and he doesn't normally put money aside in a reserve fund. So when that association turns over from the developer to the owners, raise the maintenance fee.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, they may get a special assessment right off the bat because there's no reserve funds.
Now, with the condominium that you and your husband moved into, you became a member of the association. And in becoming a member of the association, you were able to implement some changes. Tell us about why it's important to be a part of the association.
Well, I became a member of the board of directors, which allowed me to implement changes along with the other board members and the owners. Now, one thing I would like to mention is that when you purchase a condominium unit or a homeowner association home or a co-op, any of those forms, any unit in a community association, your purchase actually mandates your membership in that association.
All right, so if it mandates it,
right,
then you are required, whether you desire or not, you're required to be a participant on one level or another.
Correct. That's correct. And you also are mandated. You must follow the rules and the declaration and bylaws and the extra rules that have been created. You are mandated to follow those. You know, is it to consider, is it a community association is not a democracy. It's a business.
Now that is a very cold, realistic point.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you'd move into something like that, if you have not had a book like yours to read, Condo Buying and Ownership Made Simple, you might go in, be totally naive, and then all of a sudden feel like you felt that you had moved into a police state. You have people coming over and say, sorry, but you can't have those geraniums on the ledge of the entryway that you've got to your house. You go, excuse me? Who are you to tell me that I can't have my geraniums?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's really an education that goes on here. And I think it makes a very, very big difference. And there are some communities that are going to be populated more with, let's say, younger families, and there's others that are going to be more towards a mature group of people. So I think your points about checking and talking to residents and finding out what's going on, talk to the people there, it really can make a difference.
I have a checklist in my book that is also available as an e-book on my website, and it is a buyer's checklist. Actually, there are many checklists. I just put them all in one. But this checklist will enable buyers to actually find out every piece of information that they need to know. Probably really more than they need to know, but certainly as much as they could want to know. This checklist will guide them about what and who to ask it to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you have good questions about the type of insurance you should carry. One of the things, I know an individual that had, well, they lived in their condo, my goodness, for years and years and years, and they just loved it, but when they wanted to make some repairs, they had some water damage because a window had not been put in properly, and also flashing had not been laid down in the appropriate way because they had a roof around this area of window. And it took them, I don't know how many times, to finally get that fixed. Whenever heavy storms would come in, they lived in San Francisco, and whenever heavy storms would come in, they'd always have water dripping down their wall. And it was a big headache because everything had to be done through the association. They couldn't just call someone in and have it done.
Right, right. And that does happen. So, you know, you need, and I've known a number of people that have had that happen, and not only did they have to go through the association, they found out that it was their financial responsibility to take care of that window.
And they thought the association was going to take care of it.
Well, the declaration lays out exactly what items are the responsibility of the owner.
That's true, and that's where reading it is so important. Now, let's talk for a moment about an attorney, the association's insurance agent, which is something that I don't know that most people would be even aware of, and the association's accountant. Let's talk about how important it is to know, one, that you check through an attorney, or what you need to look at, and that the association itself has an attorney. And you need to find out about these people. How would you go about checking them out?
Well, you should be, you are completely entitled to talk with the board of directors and or the management company. They can give you the names of who these people are, and you can talk to them. Now, the only one that may be a problem might be the association's attorney. You may not have access to him because he's the attorney for the association, not for the owners. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, that makes sense. That's why it's important to know about him. And that's why it's also important to know about the declaration and all the rules. Also, there are rules dependent on the state and the community, the city, I should say, that you live in, and their rules and regulations. Tell us a little bit about how the state laws and the laws of the city that you live within, how they can impact you as well, because those are in addition to what you
Correct.
Have with the association.
Correct. Parking and pets are the two things that come to mind immediately, and noise. Actually, those three. Many times the community has ordinances or codes. And, for example, if you have a neighbor that's playing music at 2 o'clock in the morning so loud that you can't sleep, you can call local authorities and they will come out.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be able to solve a problem without even getting involved with the association. Or drawing the association into that. The same with pets.
Mm-hmm.
So I advise people to use those methods, the government methods, anytime they can, to keep from getting involved in the association with that.
One of the points you bring out, too, in your book is that if you choose to go for this kind of a lifestyle, you really are involved in a community. And all of the other people that live in that area can become wonderful, wonderful friends. Or you can end up really having some hassles. So it does take a particular type of person that is really going to be happy in an environment like this. And I was surprised when you said how many young families are interested in being a part of this and how much they seem to be thriving in certain environments. I don't know why I thought there would be more with mature people, but there's a lot of young people that are buying into the associations. They like that. They're very comfortable with it. I mean, I think
observation.
Oh, you know, it's just amazing to me.
Well, if you have professionals, you know, Donna, are so busy, and they all they want is a time. They need time. It's not about money for them. Many, you know, usually a married couple has plenty of coming in, but they need time, and they don't want to have to be involved in mowing the grass and shoveling the snow.
Well,
and the same holds true for the baby boomers, the seniors. You know, you've worked all your life. You want to quit and be able to enjoy some things.
Well, I think that your book, Condo Buying and Ownership Made Simple, is one of the best publications I've come across that is so clear and so direct with information. What's your website so people can go to your website, Kay?
It's condo-condominium.com.
Condo-condominium.com. And with this, they can go and they can get the checklist if they're looking at this. Now, let me ask you a question, because I know we're getting close to running out of time here. The resale value on condos, is that something that is a good investment for people to look at?
Absolutely. You know, right now, one in five Americans lives in a condo, or in a community association, I should say.
As the get
older, you know, that's just going to explode the market.
And there's a lot of communities that are doing exactly that. They are building more and more of them because of the lifestyle shifts that people are wanting to make. And it's all ages, all across the board. Now, again, your book is Condo Buying and Ownership Made Simple. You have checklists in the book. You have been given a 5-star rating by the Forward Clarion Reviews. You have tips on how to save time and money. And, Kay, I just think you've done us all a tremendous, tremendous favor, because this is something that a lot of people are looking at, but you define the difference between homeowners associations, condo associations, and good questions to ask. So you may walk into a place and fall in love with it, but if you have your checklist, you're going to be able to ask good questions of your realtor, number one, that you're dealing with, and also of other individuals that you may find that are there. You'll know what questions to ask people who actually live there.
Right.
And
right.
I think that's invaluable. I really do. I think that that is so very, very important. But it's a good investment. Resale value, dependent on your condo, where it's located, the neighborhood that it's in, it has a value there. And I've known people that have been very satisfied with condos and others that have just said, this isn't the kind of lifestyle that I want. But there again, that's choice, and that's what we're very fortunate to be able to enjoy. Are you still living in the same condo?
No. No, I'm not. I'm actually living in a single-family home now.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't mean that I wouldn't go into another one.
Mm-hmm.
I would just know what I was getting
into. Well, having been in charge of all of these different organizations and working with so many, you know what you're talking about. Kay, it's been a delight having you as my guest. Her website is condo-condominium.com, and you can find all kinds of information there. So if you're interested in knowing more about this, get educated. You'll be glad you did, because this may be an investment that you're going to want to make for yourself, and you want to win at that investment that you make. Kay, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, Donna, so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't go away now. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Hey, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'm available now if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Well, all you need to do is call 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or from Canada, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Or we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. And when you call in, all I need from you is your first name or initial. For those of you that might be new listeners, it's really simple. Just give me a buzz. I love to know what part of the country you're calling from. And then after that, you're welcome to, after I give you my insights, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that is on your mind, anything of interest to you, and animal, vegetable, mineral, it doesn't make any difference, and we'll be ready to go. So again, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. By the way, I do want to keep in front of you, for those that are in California, I'm going to be involved with the 6th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival. When is this being held? February 8th through the 11th at the LAX Hilton, and that's at 5711 West Century Boulevard in Los Angeles. If you want to find out more information about this Conscious Life Expo, don't go to their website, consciouslifeexpo.com. Their telephone number is 800-367-5777. We have got all kinds of wonderful speakers. I will be speaking. Daniel Brinkley is going to be there. Vishali is going to be there. George Norrie, Richard Hoagland, Byron Katie, Gay Hendricks, Peaceful Warrior, Dan Millman, and so many, many, many more people. This is a big event. They're going to have a spiritual comedy night, a conscious business symposium, and even yoga classes daily if you need to unwind from in being involved with all the wonderful activities that will be going on. So I'll be giving you my booth number as we get closer to the time as to where I'm going to be. And again, I will also be a speaker. So go to their website, consciouslifeexpo.com. Their number again, if you want more information, is 800-367-5777. I want to thank those of you who have been sending me emails with these wonderful, wonderful stories. And I wanted to share a couple of things from those of you. One's from Bob, and it's about a woman by the name of Marcy. And this is a woman that really has an attitude, and I really like the attitude. So often we go through a learning curve in life, and no matter what your age, whether you're young, middle-aged, elderly, it doesn't make any difference. Life is always tossing out lessons on so many different levels in so many different ways. And Marcy's story, as it was related to Bob, was about a get-together that she had with a dozen girlfriends from college. And she happened to see a former friend, an old friend, not a former friend, an old friend, Teresa. And she told Teresa, she said, I'm really wanting to write a book, and I want to call it Happy for No Reason. And I want to focus on the 21 core habits of unconditionally happy people. And she said, oh, I've got a story for you. And Teresa told Marcy her story. And this was the story. Teresa's dad is 95 years old, and his name is Charlie. And she said when she moved in with her dad, because she wanted to be sure that he was going to be taken care of, at the time she did it, her dad and her were both in bad spaces. Teresa's mother had just died. Therese had just gone through a very, very difficult divorce, very little money, and she said, my dad and I were just not happy people. He was missing my mom. I was in pain and suffering from the divorce, agonizing about money. Well, they had both heard about the attitude of gratitude, and that it was a very good way to feel better. So Therese and her dad decided that they were going to sit together for a few minutes every morning before Teresa went off to work and tell each other three things that they were grateful for in their lives. Three things every morning. Teresa told Marcy, she said, it was really slow in the beginning. The first time we did it, my mind was blank. I couldn't think of one thing I was grateful for. She was so filled with agitation and worry, she couldn't think of one thing to be grateful for. However, when she was sitting there with her dad, she looked around the room and saw a vase sitting on a table that she really liked. And so she said to her dad, Dad, I'm grateful for how pretty that vase is. She said, it was the most ridiculous thing that could possibly have come out of my mouth, but it's the best I could come up with at the moment. Now, her dad wasn't any better. He wanted Teresa to give him a nudge just to what he was supposed to be grateful for. But they began to notice something. They began to notice that no matter what they were grateful for, there was an effect that was happening with them. So their decision to focus on what was right in their life was paying off after a few days. They both noticed how they began to feel happier, and they noticed how more and more things seemed to be going their way. And their money situation improved. They found that the three thank yous that they were trying to do every morning started becoming five. And then they had 10 things they were grateful for. And then they had to stop listing the good things in their lives long before they ran out of things to say. Otherwise, Teresa wasn't going to get out to work on time. And this one particular morning, they were feeling so good. Their words were light and happy after doing their list. That her dad, and keep in mind he's in his 90s, who had always liked the musical Oklahoma, started singing, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning. Now, she joined in with her dad. And she said it was the perfect song for us to express first thing in the morning. And now every morning together, they sing, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, as well as saying their thank yous. And she said it has just become absolutely awesome. And she said, Marcy said, when she listened to Teresa's story, she said, I really could relate to it because there was a time in my life when I was going through such anxiety and such difficulty. And a friend told me to write down 5 things that I was grateful for in the evening before I went to bed. She said, do this for 3 weeks. And Marcy said, I knew that psychologists say it takes 21 days to change a habit, so I agreed. At first, just like Teresa, she struggled to come up with anything, but she still did it. She still made a point of doing it every night. And she said what she found is that it healed the pain in her heart. So Marcy made the suggestion for anyone, and this is what Bob was sharing and sharing the story, that for anybody that wants to change their life, every night before you go to sleep, or maybe like Teresa and her dad, you might want to do it in the morning. It all depends on who you are. It doesn't make any difference when you do it. It's just doing it. And Marcy particularly liked doing it in the evening, because she then became attentive to what went on during the day. And she said whether it was someone helping her at the grocery store or just someone giving her a smile, she paid attention to what she was grateful for. She said sometimes just opening up the refrigerator door and realizing she had food to eat. She was grateful for that. And she said there is an effect that occurs, and that is you become aware that when you're grateful, you can't be miserable because you're going to be happy right where you are. Now, that doesn't take away your desire for dreams. It means that where you are in this moment, you are grateful. And that is so very, very significant. So I just wanted to share that. I really appreciated Bob sending that story to me and Therese and Marcy being so open with their own experiences. But it makes a difference. And if you're like me, you can go through a day and everything's just humming along, and then all of a sudden something goes kapoofle. And you go, oh my goodness, I certainly didn't need this in my day. And we go off on that little tangent. Has that ever happened to you? Oh my goodness, it does to all of us. And so we get in, as a friend of mine said, we get into a kapoofle. I don't know where she got that word, but I always liked it. She had a kapoofle in her life. Well, she got to the point, my friend did, that the kerfuffles were overwhelming her. And she said, you know what, I'm going to have to take a better attitude with this. Sometimes all you need to do is talk to a friend. If you've got a friend and you just say, hey, can I borrow your ear for 5 minutes? And they'll say, sure. And you'll say, put on a rubber one because you're going to need it. And sometimes we just need to vent. If you don't have anybody to talk to, then write down whatever your kerfuffle is in life that you're not happy with and realize that, as the old adage goes, this too shall pass. We are always going to be in that up and down cycle in life. Realize that wherever you are, you can turn things around when you can express an attitude of being grateful. It makes all the difference in the world. This is Donna Sebo, and I want to let you know, call me at 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. From Canada or 530-876-3222. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. We're going to be taking a break, and when we come back, phone lines are still open, and I've got more good things to share. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
A popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com. And review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. Hey, do you enjoy a coffee cake every once in a while? We don't have them too often at our house because we're not really into that in the morning. But Sunday mornings, that's usually when I like to really cook. It's just like this past Sunday, we had blackberry pancakes with almonds, and then we had an omelet and stuff like this. I love to cook things on Sunday morning because that's the time my husband and I have together, and we read and share a lot of things. And it's just, it's a wonderful time to enjoy really good food. So as I love to cook, I'm always looking for different things perhaps that would be easy to fix, that would be absolutely delicious to share on those special Sundays. Well, for those of you that maybe have coffee groups or you want something to fix, I came across a buttermilk cinnamon coffee cake that is absolutely beautiful to look at. And if you were going to have a potluck or something like that, it would just be perfect for you to take along. So get out that pad of paper and pen and have it handy because I've got a story that I'm going to share with you. Now, again, quickly, I want to remind you that there is an event coming up, the 6th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival, from February the 8th to the 11th at the LAX Hilton at 5711 Century Boulevard in Los Angeles. And if you want more information, call 800-367-5777. For those of you that are in California, this is a fabulous event. ConsciousLifeExpo.com is the website that you want to go to get more details. They've got people talking about UFOs, paranormal on all levels. I will be speaking there. You'll be able to get schedule information, time when the speakers are appearing. We're also going to be doing a live broadcast right on site there, interviewing some of the people on February the 8th. So call their box office, 800-367-5777, or visit ConsciousLifeExpo.com. For more information. People come up with sometimes ideas out of necessity. And that is the case with a woman by the name of Mona Purdy. She's in Chicago, and Mona's story I thought was just absolutely marvelous because it indicates how, when in today's world we're so much into how can we recycle things, what can we do with what we have, where can we have things where they're serving a better purpose? Well, this happened with Mona, and she said she found in 1999 when she went to Petén, Guatemala, she was running a half of a marathon. And she said when she was there, it's interesting how things can turn your life around when you least expect it. She noticed a bunch of kids dipping their feet in sticky black glue. Well, she couldn't figure out what was going on, so when the race was over, she asked a fellow runner who had been in this half marathon before, what in the world are those kids doing dipping their feet in the tar? And this is what she was told. These kids put the tar on the soles of their feet because they have no shoes. Barefoot, they're susceptible to lacerations and dangerous bacteria from the soil that they walk on, and they think that the tar protects them. Well, that just blew her away. Now, on her own feet, she was wearing $100 running shoes, and she said, that was something that had never been in my experience. And she said, I know how I feel if I'm walking barefoot. I don't even like to have that happening in my life any more than necessary. She said, these kids walked miles barefoot on gravelly hot roads. Now, she couldn't shake this experience that she went through when she was flying home. And then a question popped into her mind. What did the average American do with their shoes? Well, they were like her, probably threw them away. And many times the shoes were in good shape. We're not talking about shoes that are totally worn out and shot down. So she said she was going to start collecting shoes. And she told her friends, told everybody she knew about her idea. But you know what? Her own kids said, here, Mom, take these shoes. They're too small for me. I can't wear them anymore. She said before she knew it, her garage was loaded with shoes, and she said, I had them all over the place. Well, she flew back to an orphanage outside of Guatemala City, and she said there was a nun that was standing in the doorway of the orphanage. She said, I have boxes of free shoes for you. She thought to herself, I wonder if we're really going to be able to make a difference. Well, do you know what? It really did. The kids were just ecstatic. And the woman, the nun, after she gave the shoes to them, asked, when are you coming back? And so she flew back to Chicago, and they started an organization, she and her friends, called Share Your Soles, S-O-L-E-S. And she said everything from boots to sandals and slippers, even rollerblades and soccer cleats were coming in. People were happy to get rid of their shoes. She said, before long, it outgrew my house. And there was a local real estate center, the Centerpoint Properties, that heard about what she was doing and donated the warehouse. She got lots of volunteers. They got organized. Sneakers were washed and bleached, and dress shoes were polished. She said gently used shoes were best. And Share Your Soles grew so much the American Airlines offered to fly them to distribution sites around the world for free. They were able to send 13,000 pairs to New Orleans Katrina victims and 15,000 to Sri Lankan victims in Thailand. What a change in her life. She said, it doesn't make any difference whether it's bringing winter boots to American Indian reservations, sandals to Africa, or sneakers to Central America. These children love seeing the excitement. She said, it's just marvelous. It beats anything that I could ever experience. She said it can have a profound effect on a child's life. So Share Your Soles to date has distributed over 350,000 shoes. And everyone from Boy Scouts to handicapped children, people of all faiths, volunteer. One person can make a difference. This woman has. Well, my goodness, I know we're almost out of time, so I'm not going to have a chance to share that coffee cake recipe with you. But how about tomorrow? So keep that pad of paper and pen handy. Though always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is a day that has adventure. It has gifts for you. But when you have an attitude of gratitude, that enables you to recognize them. That enables you to appreciate them. That enables you as a person to step forward and to really acknowledge this wonderful thing called life that you've been given the opportunity to live. It's been a pleasure sharing this time with you. Don't forget, we'll be here same time, same place, and the show is archived, so if you miss a show, you can always pick it up later on and have a listen. This is Donna Siebel. Have a fabulous day, and we'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.